Mitch Richmond has joined us on Sports Byline. Mitch, you had two tastes of the apple when it came to representing your country. Tell me about the first time when you were in college that you had a chance to represent the United States in the Olympics.
Well, it was an unbelievable feeling. Having an opportunity that I had got chosen to go to the Olympic trials. I had played for the World University Games with Mike Krzyzewski, Duke coach, Coach K, and we had a great time at the World University Games, and then I got a call to say that they wanted me to try for the Olympics. And, man, I mean, I was overwhelmed. I just thought that everything just happened so fast for me. Starting playing high school in the 10th grade to going from JUCO, and then now having an opportunity to wear USA across my chest. That was an unbelievable feeling. And I was so excited about going to the trials and having an opportunity to make the team was more exciting. It was great to represent my country.
The international game is different. Was it hard for you and the other players on that team to make the adjustments to the style of play, the officiating, and the floor itself?
Yeah, as a young player, it took some adjustment. But I think more so than anything is that we were young kids playing against pros. And at that time, you know, these teams had been together since they were 7 years old. You know, playing against my teammate who was later on my teammate at Golden State, Sharunas Marshallonis, played against Divock, played against some of these great players, Sabonis. These guys had been together for 10 to 15 years, and they were pro teams back then. They just didn't, and they would stay together, so they were never coming over here to play pro ball. They just stayed over there, and they were pro teams. So we were kind of outmatched. Because they were more mature than we were.
Yeah, that was the 1988 U.S. team, and you had some pretty good talent on that team. You had forward J.R. Reed out of North Carolina. You had Danny Manning, of course, who went on to play with the Clippers and everything. Tell me about that squad. And John Thompson was the coach of it, and I know that you guys had a lot of athleticism, loved to run the court, but that really wasn't John's style.
Yeah, it wasn't his style. He wanted to defend, and I think, you know, we wanted to defend too, but we also, you know, wanted to, you know, get up and down and make some shots. And, you know, it was great. I mean, I thought that team was phenomenal. I think we had a lot of guys in camp that we thought was going to make the team, like the Sean Elliott's, Rod Strickland. But we still had some great talent on that team. Derek Coleman was one of the guys that was going to be on that team, but he fell out. But yeah, we had great talent. Well, we just couldn't get by of some of the teams that were so much dominant in that time, and we were just young players that were still developing and not yet reach our full potential.
Now, you mentioned about going up against the seasoned European players, the professionals there, and yet there was so much expectation. I mean, basketball is America's game, and you guys finished with the bronze medal. You lost in the semifinals to the Soviet Union. Did you all sense the pressure about, hey, you're supposed to win the gold medal that Americans have?
It was so much pressure. It truly was so much pressure. And we welcomed that pressure. We thought we were, you know, a great team, and we knew that we had to play our best basketball to beat some of these big teams. But we welcomed that pressure. But when we lost, that's when the pressure really kind of kicked in. It was like, hey, man, we were young kids. We were playing for our country. We didn't know that were they going to let us back in the country by losing that gold medal. I mean, we didn't know what to think. You know, we was going to get ready to go to the NBA. We didn't know if we were going to be blackballed. We didn't know anything. It was a really scary moment losing that gold medal or having an opportunity to not get to that gold medal and coming back home, letting down your country. And it was a big burden.
You once said that we got the bronze and people feel like that's nothing, but I got a medal to show I've been to the Olympics. Now, you got a second chance to go to the Olympics with Dream Team 3. Tell me a little bit about that team coming together.
It was a great opportunity. I never in a million years at the time when I was going into the NBA thought I'd have another opportunity to play for the Olympic team. And to get that call to say, come to the, and we want you to be a part of this, that was the most gratifying thing ever. You know, I know David Robinson at the time had redeemed himself a couple, 4 years before by getting the gold medal with Dream Team 2 or Dream Team 1. Dream Team 2. And I never thought, any of us thought we'd have an opportunity to get back there. And I had an opportunity to get back there, and it was so rewarding just to be a part of that, that I was, you know, an older player now, understood the game, and with some seasoned guys, it was a great opportunity, a great time, and it was right here in that, right there in Atlanta, where my family and my friends can come to the game and experience the atmosphere of being on the Olympic team.
I remember I was up in Portland when they named Dream Team 1. That was that was a number, back in the early 90s, I guess. Now, I think 92. And when I think about that, there was the awe factor in the Olympics with that team. Was the awe factor for other countries and other teams around the world still there in Dream Team 3 for you guys?
Oh, no question about it. I think it was a little bit more because you had really and truly guys at the end of their career at that time with Magic and Bird, and they were truly Hall of Famers. But it was still, I mean, guys was asking for autographs after the game. Before the game, you can see the look in their eye. But we wanted to make sure that in no way, sense, if you give these guys a sniff, they're going to be trying to win the game. So, I had a great opportunity, playing with Charles Barkley and Karl Malone and Olajuwon and all these great players, and Shaq played with him with the Lakers, but Grant Hill, Gary Payton, John Stockton. I mean, it was a great Scottie Pippen. I mean, man, I can go on down the line. Penny Hardaway. It was great. That was a great team, and Lenny Wilkins did a great job.
Yeah, one of the things that I heard about that team is that you really wanted to be able to watch some of the practice games against each other, some of the talking that went on in the gym.
Yeah. No question about it. I mean, come on, you got Charles and you got Gary, and it was just like Dream Team 1 where they're talking smack. I mean, our best basketball was in those practices, to tell you the truth. I forgot really Reggie Miller. Reggie Miller was on that team, too.
After the first 3 years with the Warriors, then you go to Sacramento to play for the Kings, and you spent 7 years there. You led the team in scoring all 7 years. A little bit different than the Bay Area. I mean, that's a big metropolitan area. Sacramento tucked away inside California. Tell me a little bit about that experience.
It was a tough time. Ever since I picked up a ball and played organized, I had never really had a truly losing season. And to go to Sacramento with all the success we had right down the street from Golden State, it was really, truly tough. At that time, I didn't really know the rules. I really didn't want to go to Sacramento. And I can remember calling my agent and saying, is there any way that I can retire and go to another team? I didn't really know the rules. And they said, no, you can't do that. And I get a call from my mom the next day because I was really down in the dumps, and I didn't want to go. And she said, listen, you're living a childhood dream. You're playing a sport that you truly love, and the only thing that's changing is the jersey on your back. So I think you should go to Sacramento. And I packed up and went to Sacramento, it was some tough times because all the losing, I couldn't really kind of fathom what was going on. But, we tried our best to try to do the best job we could.
Yeah, is there something special, though, about playing in a small market like that? I mean, I know New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, know what you're getting there. But when you really are the focus of a town that doesn't have a professional team other than the NBA team there, the dynamics are a little bit different.
Well, you know what's special about Sacramento is that, we were a team that was struggling. We were a team that was trying to find ourselves, trying to find our identity. But it's not one day that they didn't show up to that arena and cheer that team on. We used to go down to the Clippers and play it against the Clippers, and there was no one in the arena. And to see the fans really cheer us on every night in and night out, I mean, it was inspiring. It got me up for a lot of games that I don't know if I could ever get up. But coming in and in that arena and seeing the crowd that's so excited to see us, even though that we just got our butts kicked the next day, I mean, it was an inspirational feeling. And I think it was a blessing in disguise just to go there and really connect to the people of Sacramento, because when they saw us around town, it was like a college town. They really gave us love.
We only have a couple minutes left, but I also want to talk about the trade. You go from Sacramento to Washington, where you played three seasons there. You were traded for Chris Webber. And I really felt, as I looked back on your career and thought about it, read some things about it as well, that that may have been the most difficult time for you, because you were in transition to some degree. Am I correct in that observation?
Yeah. I was in a time where, you know, I was coming down to the end of my career, and at the time I just wanted to be compensated for what I've been to Sacramento. And at that time, I was probably one of like fourth or fifth highest paid player on the team. And at that time, I was like, hey, if you guys believe in me, I believe in you. You know, make me the guy that I can retire here and settle here. And that really and truly didn't happen. And so, you know, the marriage was broken, and I had to go our separate ways. And Chris Webber at the time was going through his struggles in Washington. And we were shipped and tripped, flipped for one another. But it was a tough time.
Certainly every athlete wants to play and at least one time in their career get a championship ring. Your last stop in your career was with the Lakers, and you got that ring in 2002. As you had a chance to sit on the bench, play at times, and kind of look at the game and then win that championship, put it all into perspective for me, Mitch.
It was a tough time even there, because I really wanted to be out there, and I felt that I still could play and I still could help the team. And I think the players was great, the team was great. I just wanted to be a little bit more part of it. But I think the most important thing that really got me over the hump of just cheering those guys on and sitting over there, even though that I wasn't playing, but was excited about everyone, I just remembered when I had my great years in Sacramento, or I had my great years in Golden State, and the guy that was playing behind me didn't get that much time. I just, you know, went back and remember coming to the bench and all those guys giving me love and saying, hey, man, you got to do this, trying to give me pointers. And then I had to, you know, I had to take a step back and say, you know what? It's the same situation now. You know, it's Kobe's time, it's Shaq's time, it's all these other guys' time. And my time has passed. So right now, I'm going to be a great teammate, cheer on these guys, and get this ring. And it happened. So I had to, you know, reverse what was going on, but I think it really got me through it.
We've got about a minute left. But, Mitch, was it hard for you to leave the game? Because, I mean, you're somebody that played it with great passion, and I always thought it was going to be hard for you to leave professional basketball.
I felt I better go out this way about winning a ring. You know, I could have had a couple more years, or, you know, San Antonio at the time and Dallas had some talks about it, but nothing concrete. So I was thinking about, you know, probably try to play out two or three more years, but then I decided just let's hang it up, and I want a ring. I can't do any more, and maybe I can give this game something else, from the front office or something in that nature. So I walked away. I'm proud that I did, but I truly love the game, and I wish I could have played 20 years.
Is there a particular memory that you have that's seared in your mind in about 20 seconds about your career?
Just happened so quick, and the people that that along the way that has touched me, and the relationship that I have built along the way that I tend to lean on now that I'm out of the game, has been very special to me.
Mitch, I want to thank you. I was so looking forward to this discussion. I remember Run TMC and the other players that you played with. You had an outstanding career, and you just had such a natural shot. It was beautiful to watch it. Thank you for sharing your life and also your career with us here on Sports Byline.
Thank you. You have an opportunity to go back and then share that with you.
Mitch Richmond with us, 14 years in the NBA, drafted by the Warriors, then Sacramento, Washington, and also the Lakers. And as you heard me say, he won a championship with the LA Lakers. We continue with more of you and Sports Byline.